Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to gather in this place. These people need to hear from you. They don't really need to hear from me. They need to hear from you. And so, Lord God, let them hear what your Spirit is saying into their hearts this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Now that title is rather interesting. The title is not as interesting as the side comment or the hearing God's voice without becoming as nutty as a fruitcake. I think many of us, you know, if you've been around long enough, you occasionally encounter people that, you know, they claim they are hearing from God and they're really not hearing from God. And some of them can easily get way out there, okay? And so, this hearing from God, though, is one of the most important things we can possibly do. We really need to hear from God. If we'll just take a quick look at that first slide. Does God speak through a stuffed lion? Now, I don't know if any of you heard this story, okay? But this was this past month in June, okay, this story came across. These are lines right out of the National Post, okay? So, a BC couple whose religious views are too extreme even for churches and pastors and put them at odds with family, doctors, social workers, and anyone else trying to help them with their daughter have lost the battle for custody for her. This is actually a very sad story, okay? Don't get me wrong here, okay? This is a very sad story. Let's go to the next one. The unusual child custody trial featured the couple speaking in tongues to a stuffed animal they said transmitted the word of God directly to them and refused legal assistance because Jesus Christ, through the stuffed lion, was their lawyer, witness, and judge. Okay? What I find troubling on this whole thing is actually part of that first statement gives you the clue that something is wrong. They don't listen to pastors or, and we're just talking about the, you can go look it up. If you looked up stuffed lion, okay, on Google or something like that, God speaking through stuffed lion, you can read the full story, okay? But what this says to me, you know what? I believe in speaking in tongues. I spoke in tongues in this service. I spoke in tongues before this service, okay? Is that the problem? No, okay? I believe that Jesus Christ can speak to me. Is that the problem? No. So, if there's a way to do this right, there's obviously a way to do it wrong, and they seem to have messed it up, okay? And so, how do we hear God, actually listen for His voice, and get it right? Okay, this is one of the most crucial things that you can learn. Okay, as a Christian walking through this life, I need guidance, I need direction, and I need to get that from the Holy Spirit. I need to get that from God. And how He does it, by the way, maybe He could do it through a stuffed lion at some point. Who am I to judge Him? Okay, or prejudge what He could do. The point here is there's something right and there's something wrong, and there's something we can get into deception, and we need to be really careful that when we're seeking God, we don't end up off in some weird tangent that's way out there. And being kind of charismatic and people who want to hear from God, we need to be really attentive and say, hey, how do we really do this? How do we get it right? So we don't end up in a situation like this couple, okay? Now, there was some abuse behind in the background and all kinds of stuff, so we're not painting a full picture here, and neither is there time to do that. But are you hearing from the shepherd? We need to be hearing from the shepherd, and I think the key verses here, we want to go through them right away. Jesus speaking, the one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him. The sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he's brought out all his own, that's an interesting term, all his own, okay? Because there are some that aren't his own, and we need to keep that in mind. all his own, he goes on ahead of them and his sheep follow him. And here's the key phrase, because they know his voice. So the key thing here is, do you know his voice? Have you heard him? Are you following him? We need to know what Jesus' voice sounds like to us as we move through this life. Apparently, this should be something that we can do. Jesus wouldn't tell us the story if this wasn't impossible. This is a possible thing. This is something we can do. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from the stranger because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. So we need to be at that point where we, through training, you might say, through repeated hearing of the Master's voice, we're able to identify when he's the one really speaking to us. This is crucial. So I need to have my ears, my eyes, everything about me needs to be attuned to what is the shepherd saying, because I am his sheep. Let's go to the next passage. My sheep listen to my voice. This is Jesus continuing on farther down in that whole passage. Actually, all of chapter 10 is a great, great passage. I've just taken a few verses up here. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will ever snatch them out of my hand. So the question is, are you in the shepherd's hand? And I guess there's another point there. Are you following him? Well, we can only follow him, really, if we're hearing his voice. Now, I would like to propose to you that if you are following Jesus, if you have decided to follow him, you've already heard his voice. So this is not something that is way out there. If you've come and you've really genuinely bowed your knee before Jesus and said, forgive me of my sins, I want to follow you. I want my life to be taken over, you might say, the control board of my life. And this is really what this is all about, okay? It's control. I don't want to be controlling my life. I really want Jesus in control of my life. I want him to pilot me. I want him to shepherd me. Does that all make sense? So if he is the shepherd, if he's the guide, if he's the one we're following, then we better be getting this part of the equation down right. We need to hear him. I'm going to tell you a little story here. And in starting the story, it's almost a... This couple is a bit of a contrast to the other couple that we just read about in BC that lost custody of their child. And I'm bringing them up because if I know correctly, John, Pastor John, said they'd be coming to see us in this congregation in a while, because they are heading off to Estonia. And if you don't know where that is, it's in Europe, Northern Europe, snuggled up to, used to be part of the Soviet Union, okay, and Finland is just to the north. Anyway, this couple is heading off to Estonia. Now, there's a little bit of background here. I'm going to step by here, okay, just because I feel like it. This side deserves, you know, equal time, right? Okay. I've actually known John, okay, the young man over there for a number of years, because I used to go down and preach in their church in Toronto, and he was just a young fellow running this machine, just like, you know, Eric is right here, okay? So the first time I met him, he was kind of the Joe boy, you know, and he might have been 19 or 20 or something like that, you know, at the first occasion. Anyway, over the years, every once in a while, I go back to the same church and preach at the same church as a visiting speaker. And, of course, there would be John and advancing along and so on. On one occasion, this would probably have been about 4 years ago now, okay? Maybe 2 years ago. I'm not sure. It's been a while. The Holy Spirit was very present at that morning service, okay? And it was one of those occasions, I kind of surprised myself in the sense that God spoke to me, said, this woman right there, well, I'm just going to pick someone out, okay, right there, okay? You, you know, I don't know anybody there, okay, except probably John and the pastor, okay? So, and singled this young lady out and said, you need to be planted, okay? God is talking to you about being planted. And that's the word, I just looking at your face, you need to be planted, and God is going to do that planting. Well, not knowing person X from a hole in the ground, okay, this was rather an unusual thing for me to say. But it was later, you know, after the service, the pastor said, that word, that was right on, okay? This is exactly what she needed to hear, okay? And I don't know where God's going to plant her yet, but she's from Estonia. Okay, so this was 4 or 5 years ago. Okay. I'm not sure about this, but I think she's the sister of the lady, okay? So if I get this wrong, okay, as it turns out, she, and I kept hearing updates from the pastor later on, she ended up, and one would think immediately, oh, she's supposed to be planted at the church in Toronto, okay? You know, having known this background now, I thought, oh, okay, well, I guess she's supposed to be planted in Toronto. No, she was planted back in Estonia, okay? You know what? This thing about where you're at and where you're planted and where you're supposed to be and the flock you're supposed to be in, this is the role of who? The Good Shepherd. So this is actually quite timely. Well, lo and behold, at the convention this year, what happens? This couple is commissioned to go off to Estonia. Okay, so they're going to Estonia in the fall, I think in September. So they had a table at the end of the convention, you know, there was a commissioning service, et cetera, et cetera. This is in Canmore that Pastor John and I were both there and our wives and so on. Anyway, the commissioning table at the back, you know, and so they, in one of the services, I went out and began to talk with them. Of course, because I know John a little bit, okay, and I know this Estonian connection at least a little bit. And I've sort of had this sense that I've had a kind of role in this whole thing, okay, at least indirectly. So I thought it would be good to give them some support. So I said, in the conversation we had, you know, I said, I really feel that I should be helping you guys out, you know, with monthly or support or something like that. But I don't want to make any decision. I'll talk to my wife and we'll proceed from there and pray. I'll pray about it. Let's go to the next line. How does listening prayer work? You need to ask for guidance. Okay. So I said to myself, I need to know how to proceed here. How much money should I give them? How should I do this money thing? If I'm going to help these people out, you know, Lord, give me some direction here. How many know that we need direction? That made perfect sense. So let's see what it says. As the Lord has a path marked out for you. By the way, that's true of everyone, okay? And it's true of that couple, that family, and it's true for each one of us. Let's go to the next slide. Now, this happens to be in Canmore, and there's a river very close. Our hotel where all this happened is somewhere over there. Okay? Let me just say that real quickly. It was a beautiful location. Let's go to the next picture. And there's a walkway right there. So when we talk about the path, he has a path, the Lord has a path marked out for you. So anyway, trying to make the speed this story along quickly. I went the next morning. Being on Ontario time, I wake up early, think, okay, I'm going to go for a walk. Knew about this path. Let's go down that path And of course, as I'm walking, I'm praying, and I'm thinking to myself, Lord, how should I help this couple? So I put that question out there. And the response back, and I'm going to, and I don't want to say that I heard the Lord speak, out loud into my heart. But the response that I got back was, get them to post, to translate your blog post, the one I just showed you earlier, okay? Get them to post, translate that into the Estonian language, and then pay them for doing that. And I thought, okay, that's a novel. And he gave me a figure of how much I should pay them, sort of on a monthly basis, for doing the translation work. And I thought to myself, yeah, okay, but I don't know if they can do this. I don't know. I knew the wife knew Estonian language, but is she up to doing this, and will this even work? And so I had all of my questions about the hows and wherefores, and will they be even open to this idea? Anyway, at lunch, so I went through my prayer time and my walk and had an absolutely glorious walk, got back to the hotel, breakfast was served, I sat at one table, about three tables over was this couple. My supervising pastor is a fellow named Louis Foster. Anyway, I finished my breakfast and I thought, you know what? I'm going to go over there and have a propose this, okay, to them. So I went over there to sit down at their table, sat down, barely got my seat on the chair. Louis comes over, taps me on the shoulder, and starts going in about my post, my blog post for the morning, okay? On and on about it had to do with chickens, okay? Anyway, he kept telling me, about, and we had this conversation for almost 5 minutes about the blog and how it was, what he thought of that particular post, which was all very positive. Well, this was kind of a nice segue to say to the couple who I'm sitting right beside, actually, that's why I came to talk to you. I want to see if you could translate this, these blogs that I do, these posts that I do, into Estonian language, and I'll pay you. That's how we'll do this. That's the way I'd like to support you. She said, and I said, do you think, to Anna Lee, the wife, do you think you could do this? And she said, well, yeah, I think I could do at least part of it, but, I'd really like to involve my mom. She's been translating English devotionals into Estonian language for the last 20 years.
What a coincidence, eh?
Yeah. And the whole thing was settled in far more, shorter time, you might say, than it took me to tell that story, okay? The whole thing has gone down just beautifully, okay? All this says to me is that when you hear God, okay, and then you move forward on it, that's, he'll put those right thoughts, those right ideas right into your mind, and he can drop them in, if you're asking. So let's go to that next slide. Jesus lays out the principles for personal guidance. Okay, so let's go through this here really quickly. So I say to you, ask, first point, and it will be given to you. Seek, second point, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. By the way, this passage is repeated in all three of the Gospels, okay? The first three Gospels, in some form. Let's go to the next one. Which of you fathers, if your sons ask for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now that Holy Spirit is the one who gives us direction, who leads us forward. By the way, did you know that Jesus just called us here evil? Okay? Think about that for a minute, okay? And that really says something about us, and we need to reckon that our nature is not 100% right, okay? And that very fact that if we'll acknowledge that and say, gee, I could take the wrong path so easily, this is why I need to be humble before God, okay? Because this whole thing about submission to the will of God and being led by God and hearing God's voice starts with this thing of, I like to say it starts on your knees, okay? It starts with you saying, hey, I can't get this right. by nature I'm evil. I need help here. Help me move in the right direction, because I can't hear you rightly unless I've really spot on, unless I acknowledge and humble myself. And I'm just going to run through these points. The first one we already said was ask. The second one was seek. The third one was knock. And if you actually went about the sequence of my little story, I asked the question, how should I do this? Okay? He provided a bit of an answer, okay? As I was seeking him, as I was on my walk, okay? He downloaded some thoughts into my mind, okay? Then I knocked, I went over to that table, sat down, and I asked the right question of the right person to see, will this work? Hey, that's the knocking situation. Let's continue. Ask in humility, lay out your question. And that's what prayer is, okay? Seek. Look for God's direction in His Word. Okay, so, and there's a variety of ways where we get direction, okay? So I wanted to make the point about the Word first, okay? Because if we're in the Word, that's a great place to be starting. And time again, as I'm going along, where do I go? What do? I need the direction of the Word. Through circumstances. You know, He brings certain things along for a reason. Don't assume you're walking through this life blindly, okay? You are where you are because He wants you where you are. If you're really His sheep, okay? If you are genuinely His sheep and He is leading you, then you are exactly where you should be. So what is right in front of you could well be the answer to your, you know, question, okay? So don't assume that what's before you is inconsequential, has no relation to the answer to your questions that you're asking, okay? So the circumstances are important. Through others, God's people. This is where, you know, when we had the couple at the beginning that were messed up, they weren't listening to anybody else, wouldn't listen to pastors or the general Christian community, okay? Which is a bad sign. Watch for signs. If I'm going, I know we all, many of us nowadays use that GPS thing, okay? But in the old days, when you didn't have a, maybe if you had a map or you had a few directions, boy, I would watch like a hawk for signs, okay? And those could be road signs or they could be landmarks or they could be whatever they are. But you're watching for signs, okay? In the same way, watch for signs in terms of, are you walking on the right path? Are you going in the right direction? Is this where you want me to go, Lord? Okay? And if you have that perspective of, okay, show me the way that I should be walking, and if I'm on the right path, it should become clear. Okay? There should be confirmation that you're on the right path. Oh, you know, that sign says, I'm getting close. Okay? Let's go to the next. Knock, try the door that is in front of you. Yeah. Okay? How much time do we have here? Okay, I don't want to take too much time. So there is that point where you feel you've reached your destination. Then you have to do the actual knocking and say, Lord, is this really you? And usually, if you're in the right place, you'll get the same sort of response or a similar response to what I had sitting at that table in Canmore at the hotel. Move in faith that God will guide, okay? If we're in this walk, in this process of being shepherded, being led by Jesus, if He is really the good shepherd, then we need to be guided along the way. I've put some things up here because... And I hope I say them not as examples as someone who has arrived and accomplished, you know, all kinds of things. I say them because sometimes we need concrete examples of how this works out. Does that make sense? Okay? Because otherwise you go like, oh, wow, hiya. I need the story, okay? Often I need the story. I can give you the principle, lay the principle out, but then how does that work out in real life, okay? I remember after quitting the pastorate, okay, after our Four Square church closed down, this was a hard thing for me. Let me just be really honest. But at the same time, I had felt at the time God was leading me in some other directions and had opened certain doors, and they involved drama and so on. And after I'd done this drama called The Centurion's Report for a number of years, I thought, I really have got a story here that could easily develop into a book. It took me 6 years to write the book, okay? Get the book done, and I'm sitting going, yeah, well, what now? Okay, like I've got this manuscript, but what do I do with this now? Okay, like, Lord, you've led me this far, but it needs to be published, or, you know, what good is a bunch of pages on a computer or whatever, you know? And I mulled this around. You know, sometimes the answers don't come super quickly. And sometimes they involve this thing called moving in faith, okay? Where you have to go like, okay, I guess I'm going to have to step out here and do something that seems a bit crazy. I remember I was at, and there was probably about 6 months or more, the manuscript's done, and it's just sitting there. And I may have tried a few publishers. I know I did with one of my other books, which I had two books actually currently finished. The Little Froggy book was done too. And I was kind of like, where do I go and how do I do this? And that was a sort of a tough spot I was in. I was sitting at the CHRI banquet. They had a banquet, I can't remember once. And at this table, and there were a few people beside me, and just in the conversation, I got this, because I'd been thinking about the self-publishing thing, because that seemed to be a possibility. And I just got this, you just got to do it. Just do it. You know, that was the download of the conversations that evening, and you've just got to do it. Well, doing it meant spending $12,000 that I didn't have, okay? And getting 2,000 books copied, you know, copies published, and going through this whole process and convincing my wife, and, you know, I've got kids that are at the stage where they're about to start university and there's bills to pay and there's a whole bunch of things that...
That's what's doing it, I think.
It interferes, okay. I didn't hear the interference. That's okay. Anyway, sometimes you just got to take that step where you go, okay, I'm going to do it. Now, if God's in it, he will reward it. How many know that, okay? So I went out there and borrowed my $12,000 and plunked it down and went like, I have no idea how this is going to work out. And I hope this is you, God, because this is, you know, otherwise, you know, we're going to be eating macaroni and cheese for the rest of, you know, the next 15 years here as we're trying to. I do like Kraft dinner. Anyway. The timing was absolutely incredible, you know, which I didn't arrange. Did I know that the Passion of Christ movie was coming out, you know, in a few months? No, I didn't, okay? This came out simultaneously. This book took off. I sold 2,000 copies in 9 months. You know, it was number one seller at Salem Storehouse for 9 months. It was number one seller. I went and published a Little Froggy book. Ran through, had to do a double copy on the other one because we had to do another reprint, rerun, and off we go, okay? Currently, you can show that next slide if we've lost. Now what did we do?
What that means is you're taking too long.
I'm taking too long. And that's the current version of the book because it's been picked up by US publisher. So, and that is too long. All I want to say is that sometimes God will take you to the end of your resources. Okay. And you do have to implement this thing called faith. Okay. Now, it becomes, how would I say, it's easier to do, it's, when you actually step out of the boat, it's never easy. But there's a greater confidence if you know that you've heard God before. Does that make any sense? Okay. If you've heard Him repeatedly in the past and when you followed His instructions, shall we say, the results have been good, then you have greater confidence that, oh gee, although this is scaring me like crazy, okay, I really think this was you, okay? I really think I wasn't just hearing the stuffed line talk. This really was you, okay? So that all requires relationship. And that's where, and this is so, so crucial, and you hear this over and over again, is I think one of the saddest indictments is, I believe it's at the end of the Sermon on the Mount when Jesus says, to some of the people there, He says, you've cast out demons in my name and prophesied in my name and la-di-da-da, but I never knew you, okay? And that's where I keep going, Lord, I really want to know you, which actually means hearing your voice and following you and taking those steps day by day that keep me on your path. Let's go to the next slide. There are times when God simply opens doors, and I just wanted to mention this partly because it's part of my most recent experience. I got a call I was actually at Tim Hortons in Orleans, and I suddenly get this call on that, yes, that device, and it says, it's David Kilgore, who was a cabinet minister in the Chrétien government, and who was, I could say, a friend of mine, okay? He says, what are you doing at the end of the month? And I said, well, I should be, are you kind of free at the end of the month? And I said, yeah, I don't have anything all that special. He said, well, could you go to Athens in my place? Because I'm busy in Paris and Washington that week and can't make this trip. And I thought, okay, maybe I'll think about that a little bit. I'll talk to Karen. I'll get back to you, which I said. I thought, I don't want to rush this too much, but it didn't take a long time to make the decision. Let's put it this way, okay? But having said that, this is an opportunity. When God opens the doors, you need to see if you can, is it the right door, and should you be going through it? And I have to say, I really believe it was God who presented that opportunity in front of me, an opportunity I didn't particularly seek. It had to do with interviewing refugees from the Turkish government, people who were fleeing from the Erdogan or Erdogan government in Turkey. And so I flew over there last Tuesday, not Tuesday of this week, the previous week, and spent the next 3 days basically interviewing refugees and with another lady who works with Diplomat magazine. And after that was all done, we managed to get about a half day of sightseeing in, which there's me in front of the Acropolis, okay? But the real purpose of the trip was to visit with these refugee families. I'll maybe talk briefly about the first group I met, the first interview, you might say. The first interview was with a major newspaper, a fellow who worked for a major newspaper chain in Turkey. And he had come upon the fact that massive arms shipments were happening in 2013 from Turkey to support the ISIS fighters and this was really at the beginning of their big push. But the the government there was actually secretly selling all these arms to these fighters. And he had the courage, and the newspaper had the courage to report on this, exactly what was happening. Well, of course, this didn't go down very well, and the newspaper was seized, and these people had to flee. The reporters and the whole thing had to flee. The women in the picture there, I will just go back there, the different women in the picture, this one here, and then those four with the headscarves on, they're all wives of teachers, and they were all, their husbands they fled to Turkey. Most of them fled to Turkey because the husbands were arrested and spent 10 months or more, or a year or more, in prison. Once they're released, you would think it would be over, but it isn't. It's not over in the least. They can't get work, and neither can they get a place to stay, because anyone who rents to them will be, and funds in their bank accounts were all seized as well, okay? So you have this sort of horrific situation where, and it doesn't end, you know, like, they're after you, and they're continually after you, and they're harassing you. So ultimately, they have to flee, which they do by crossing a river between Greece and Turkey. And usually, they have to pay smugglers to do that. Once they're in Greece, they're released and released. Here's the crazy thing about it: while they're in Turkey, the police, you know, often will do raids on their homes, okay, if they find out where they are, and they have to be in hiding somehow. The moment they get to Turkey, once they cross over the border, they pull out their cell phones and call the Greek police to let them know they're there, at which time they're issued papers to say, okay, you're a refugee here now, and we're starting the asylum process. Completely different system, okay? Anyway, the women, three of them have husbands in Canada, and two have one in Germany, and one in the Netherlands right now. And one of these, the one holding the baby there, okay, now I'm thinking it's this one right here. Yeah, the young girl, that one, her husband, I met him on Tuesday night here in Ottawa, okay? The others are in Kitchener and Vancouver, the ones that are in Canada. Anyway, when you talk about situations like this, I actually ended up, you could feel there is what I would call, I ended up that morning speaking just before that, just telling, after hearing their stories, telling them that I really felt that they were, one of the things that they expressed was a great deal of gratitude to the Greek and Western people, okay? The Greeks, by the way, are their traditional enemy, okay? They are told, you know, that there's been war between Greece and Turkey, you know, for generations. And so this is the, and it's the, you know, the Christian Greeks versus the Muslim Turks, okay? So there's this conflict between religion and national pride and all those sorts of things, okay? And then all of a sudden they end up where they have to flee their own country. They end up in Greece and are received quite warmly. And these enemies that they thought were enemies are actually quite friendly, you know. And I don't want to overemphasize this too much because there are stresses there, but they're received graciously. And I said to them, one of the things is that they're breaking down walls between religions, okay, is what's happening, and a breaking down between countries, and you know this national, you know, pride and so on is being broken down, and literally there was this and that God was doing that, okay. And there was just a literal, you know, if they would use the word amen, they would have all said amen. In some cases, tears of response, okay, that this is something God's doing. And I don't want to pretend that, oh, they're suddenly going to convert. They might well not. Okay, this is not. But, you know, sometimes what we do and how we show kindness is the first step to doing what we're supposed to be doing. I speak all this because in the context I was in, the passage, you know, in my daily reading, I said we need to be guided by the Word. Here's the passage I read just before I got on that plane. In my daily reading, you know, the sort of sequence of events, watch for guidance. You've heard, this is Jesus speaking, you've heard that it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, hey, that's the experience they were having, okay? But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even tax collectors doing that? If we only love our fellow Christians, you know what? That's too easy. Jesus is always setting the bar higher. And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your Father in heaven is perfect. You know, there's my reading, you know, before I step on the plane, sort of in my daily sequence of things. And it helped me say, okay, how am I supposed to respond in this situation, okay? Well, those words just kept coming back at me. Respond like Jesus wants you to respond. This is how I told you to respond, okay, when you hear these stories. So I think one of the things I would encourage you to do is pray for these people that I've been in touch with, okay? Pray for some of those breakthroughs to happen. You know, I've talked a little bit. I started off with that blog post, okay? And I said there were these Nigerians that I know are probably connected through Isufu who were suddenly appearing on my website. Guess what? Since I've been to Greece, I've had Turkish readers of my blog, okay? Quite consistently. This is only back a week. All of a sudden, I've got Turkish readers, okay? So what does all that say? I say all that to say God wants us to break down some of our walls, to hear what the Spirit of God is really saying to us, okay? And to not be afraid of crossing some of those lines, you know? And by the way, not everyone will jump up and down, you know, if you cross some lines, because we have our, you know, you're supposed to be in this little circle and that's it. So some of us, you know, operate by that, okay? But I think we need to be operating by the way Jesus would have us operate. And that's so vital and so crucial. My time, I think, is up. I'm afraid to look. There it is. Yes. So, I'm going to invite you to stand. Would you stand with me? Let me just check if there's something else on that slide. I think that's it. Good. That's a good sign. Didn't want to leave anything hanging. How many here would say, hey, I really need to be hearing from Jesus? You'd say, hey, that's me. I need that guidance. We need the heavenly GPS system that takes us on the right path. And we need that daily. And so that's really going to be my prayer over all of you. And let it be your prayer too. And then hopefully, you know, from the message, you can say, okay, well, what does that mean for me today? How am I going to do it out? How am I going to live it out? How through this week ahead is this message going to resonate with me so I can really be hearing what Jesus says? Heavenly Father, we just come before you. We come before you humbly because we don't know the way forward. That's why you are the shepherd. And so, Father, I pray you would guide everyone in this flock. We need to hear from you. If we're going to have breakthroughs in this congregation, in this city, in this country, it will come because we've heard from you. It will come because we've heard and obeyed and taken those steps that lead to your kingdom, not ours, your kingdom advancing and your will being done on this earth. So Lord God, do that within us. Equip us now. Help us to have those keen ears to hear and then obey what you say. In Jesus' name, amen.